Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
We've had a long day. Some of us have worked all day, except for the retired guys who, you know, just had breakfast and probably took a nap. But I remember when I first started coming to the church, I was working in a tree business, and I would climb trees and be in a tree all day, sometimes taking my lunch in a tree, and rain or shine, I was up there, and I'd get off at 6, 6:30, depending on what the job entailed, and I'd have to hurry to get here, and I'd sit in the back so no one saw how dirty I was or how much sawdust was in me and on me and around me. You guys watch Peanuts, you saw Pigpen, a little cloud. I felt like that all the time when I came, because you just leave work and you come to the house of God. I was taught that when the doors are open, you get here. And I made it. And I'm so thankful that I did, because I would come and I'd be in a bad mood, or I'd come and I've had a headache, or I'd be tired or wore out. But somehow between the beginning and the end of service, I left with an attitude adjustment. I left and I had a change of mind, and I heard the word of God, or it was a song, or it was just encouragement from a brother. And I'm so thankful for the body of God where I can come and leave changed. Amen. And that happens because of people like you. And I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. I'm very thankful. We get tired sometimes, yeah? We work all day, and some of you didn't get dinner. Some of you did a couple times already. But God is good, yeah? We're still in the house tonight, and, you know, it has some rain and some wind and stuff like that, but after tomorrow's rain, we're going to have like 5 days of dry weather, amen? And that's a good thing. So if you got to clean your gutters or put iron down to get the moss out, whatever you got to do, do it. You'll have a small window. This is the Northwest, so you know how that goes. I want to remind everybody, this coming Saturday, it's March 5th. There's a lot of things planned. We have men's breakfast. All the guys said, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Men's breakfast. I encourage you, if you haven't gone, go. If you got to quit your job to go, just go be at men's breakfast. It's so worth it. It's good for the guys to get together. Thursdays, the ladies have their Bible study, and that's a beautiful time for the ladies to get together and do that. Saturday also, Sister Daisy and Sister Nancy, they're going to be doing God's girls, raising up our young ladies to be the princesses that they really are, and show them their value in God. So that's happening all at the same time. A lot of good things. Brother Mike, wave your hand. There he is. You see that guy? He's going to be taking a group of people, whoever wants to go out and reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's called outreach, where we get out of the building, the church has left the building kind of stuff, and go reach souls. That's happening on Sunday, believe it or not, at 5 p.m. There's a concert in town where people are gathering to hear worship, and they're gathered in one place, and they might not have a church, and they probably don't know truth, so it's going to be up to us. Amen. To let them know. Amen?
Amen?
So if you got a hunger and a desire to see your city changed, and you're done complaining about it, and you actually want to go be part of the change, you can get out there and do your part. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Is that too hard? Was that?
No.
Okay. No. We work. Yeah. We get tired. That's the problem with the flesh. Amen. And we lay there and we think, you know, if I could just have that energy drink or coffee or get this or get that, and then I'll be ready to go. And we have these visions of what it'd like if we maximum capacity, if we were able to work at full throttle all the time, all the way with no drain, right? Everybody ever think that? I've thought about it. If I could just duplicate myself, then I could do this, this, and this. Amen? Is that just me? Okay, good. But the reality is this. You're one person and you're human. In your flesh, amen? You will wear out, you will get tired, amen?
Yeah.
I heard a saying that said, the best thing about reality is that's where the best steaks are. You can dream all day of what something is be like, but until you step into reality and order a steak, that's the only way you'll be able to get it. Amen? So if we're able to take a step back and get rid of all of our ideas of what could be and what we want and step into reality and accept what is the plan of God, then we can really enjoy the moments that we have because of God. Amen? Many of you know I've been a youth pastor here for the last couple years, and there's I've learned this, as there's two particular stories in the Bible that you can go to really, really scare the minister to the kids. And they're in the Word of God for a reason, amen? The Word of God is there. It's there to teach us, and it's infallible, and it's lasted the test of time. And God put these two stories in there for youth pastors to minister to the children, amen? The first one is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24, and it involves Elijah and two female bears and some very rude children. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 24, I encourage you to look that up and see why we respect the man of God. That's not my story today. I won't teach that one, although it is a good one. I'll be talking about the other one, and that's in the book of Acts chapter 20. And it's a good one, amen? The Word of God is sure, amen? But I'm also sure of this one thing, is that it's Tuesday evening, and sometimes we could be a little drained. Sunday went on, we had our Monday, but then we have our Tuesdays. Tuesday's the day where the weekend usually catches up with me. Just burr. And you got to just chug coffee all day and just I don't know. You guys, you know, ever go on a long drive and you have to put the window down or the sunflowers? What do you guys do to stay awake? You smack yourself, right? What else? Chew gum, coffee, window down, sunflower seeds, turn up the music, right? Water in your face. You get as much sugar as you can in you. Right? Because if you could just make it the 20-minute drive, then you're good. Amen? Yeah. Anybody not have any of that today? Anybody still need that today? Show of hands. Okay, I got one, two. Say I don't got snacks. I got snacks, and they raised their hands, so this is how youth people are. I saw a hand right here. What, you want a snack or no? She's cute. I'm going to get her whatever she wants. What you want? What you need? Jeff? Come on. You want a fruit snack? I'll go get you another Rice Krispie.
He
likes to think he's a youth. He aged out a while ago. Oh, she was. Okay. Say I don't got you. She wants something? Watch. Watch what we do. Watch what we do. Don't trip. It's all good. Okay. We got one more, Sister Anita. Okay, Sister Lucy. You know these already. You know if it's being handed out. There you go. Those are coffee candies. That's like the way to go. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Amen. God is good. Now there's no excuses. You guys will be running the aisles later. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 20. We'll hear about the other story that is perfect for the youth group. The first one was in Kings. It's about the bears. The second one is it's pretty cool. We'll look at it. But I have to give you a little context of what's going on. And it's following the Apostle Paul's life. Amen. And he's been on, this is his third missionary journey. He's going around preaching. How many know the conversion of Paul, right? You know, what was he before? He was a killer, a murderer, right? He was a persecutor of the church, right? He was arresting and murdering people who believed in Jesus Christ, that he was the resurrected Savior, amen? And the Lord converted him. He had such a powerful conversion that he changed his entire life. And he devoted it and was willing to sacrifice it for this gospel, amen? I'm thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. For people, I mean, who would go beyond the people that were like him and start reaching another people who were not like him. A missionary to the Gentile people who were not supposed to be a people, the scripture says. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I look through his life and I see that he had a lot of things going on, and he had a lot of opportunities to witness and be a witness, to have his life poured out. Amen? Yeah. One time in his ministry, there was the sons of Sceva. And we know that story, Sceva? Sons of Sceva, they wanted what he had. But what happened to them? They kind of botched that story, right? They're going, doing their thing, and they try casting out demons out of a demon-possessed person, right? And the spirits literally spoke out and said, Jesus, we know. Even Paul, we know. But you, I don't know. And they got beat up. Amen? So that let me know this, is that Jesus knew who Paul was. He was there in his conversion. That means the enemy of his soul, the devil, knew who he was. Those spirits knew who he was. So he was known in the spiritual. He was known in the heavenlies. And he was known on the planet, here on earth, on the earthly. Amen? People knew him, right? He was known by the world. People didn't want to hang out. They didn't trust him. That's why he needed Barnabas. It's this whole story of how he lived and how he ministered. There was one time where there was a lame man from his womb. And from the womb, from his birth, he was just lame. And we talked about it last time. And Paul grabbed his hand and said, get up and walk. And he started walking. He just spoke it. Amen? He didn't get the oil, and he didn't have to, you know, fast 57 days and, you know, do all this stuff. He spoke the word of God. He spoke the word of faith, and he was healed. That shows the authority and power he was operating in. Amen? I'm just trying to give you some background and context to who this man Paul was before I jump into the story. It's his third missionary mission, and he goes to a city called Troas, and it's during the time of Passover. And he's there for 7 days. Amen? Anybody know what Passover is? We know it. What was it about? Passed over. So there's a death angel. There was blood. There was a door. There's some bitter vegetables and lamb. And well, there's some stuff going on, right? It signified the deliverance of the children of Israel. Amen? And that's still a powerful message today, that we can't have deliverance without the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We won't have any deliverance in our life without the precious word of God. Amen? They were also told to be ready. Get dressed and be ready to go. Amen? That's still our call of the hour today, is to be ready. Be ready to go. Be about your Father's business. Amen? Amen. So this is the time frame that they were in, and they were celebrating this Passover, their deliverance, this whole festival. And Paul's there in this city, Troas, and he's there, and he's ministering to some people. The Bible says for 7 days he's ministering and ministering before he goes on to another journey. We got enough context? Is this boring you yet? Because I'll say it like this. This story wouldn't be here if Paul had a Nerf gun. If Paul had a Nerf gun, this story wouldn't be here. And I'm going to be watching, because I brought a Nerf gun. It's right there. The book of Acts, chapter 20. We got it? Say amen if you're there. The book of Acts, chapter 20. Everybody's worried about the Nerf gun now. I left the automatic one at home. Okay? Do not be afraid. The book of Acts, chapter 20, starting in verse 7, it says this. And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Somebody said midnight. Midnight. He continued his speech until midnight. That's a long service. They broke bread, probably at daybreak is when their festival started, and they went all the way till midnight. That's a long, long service. We were at Because of the Times, and they had a greeting, and they had worship, and they had an introduction, and then they had a sermon, and then they had altar call, and then they had a greeting, and then a sermon with worship, and then altar call. And that was the first part. And then you took a break, and then you did it all over again, and you do that for 3 days. It's like so intense, but the power of God was so heavy there. So I can only imagine what it was like in this room with these people who had just broken some bread, observing the Passover, hearing what God is doing. A lot of these people were new converts, amen? And they were trying to hear what this famous dude, Paul, was preaching. They're in this house. The Bible says this in verse 8, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Verse 9, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Somebody said Eutychus. Began falling into a deep sleep. Can we get the lights low? Can we kick the heater up just a little bit? And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. We could kind of set the stage and get this picture going on of a time where it's a festival time. And they had just, you ever have one of those meals where you just want to sit on the recliner after and just, you know, just. And you're there and it's, how many night owls we got here? All right, hands down, who's the early birds? Okay, early birds, yeah. My wife has her hands up because she will get you going at about 8 o'clock, and then 9 o'clock comes and she's in bed while you're still amped up on energy drinks. I know. So here's the deal, is they've been fellowshipping and had good food and good presence of God, and it's so comforting, the peace and presence of God is there. And Eutychus, a young man, probably under 30 years old, would have been considered a young man, and he's there, and he probably worked all day, I can only imagine, and he goes to the house of God, and the apostle Paul's there, and he's going to be leaving, but I got to catch every word he says, I might miss something. And he's there, and he's sitting there, and he's listening to the preaching and the teaching and the stories and the testimonies of what God has done through him. Amen? And it goes on and on, kind of like this, on and on till midnight. And the Bible says he gets heavy-eyed. He starts getting the nods. He didn't have any sunflower seeds. He didn't have any Kirk Franklin to turn up. He didn't have any water to splash in his face. He was sitting by the window to hopefully catch some air, get the toothpicks right, you know, to do what you got to do to stay awake. I still got the Nerf gun, though. And if Paul had the Nerf gun, he wouldn't have fallen asleep. I believe that he would have shot him with that Nerf gun. I really do. If he was willing to throw a rock at somebody, he was willing to throw a dart to keep someone awake to listen to him. Amen? I won't bust out the Nerf gun today, but I will turn up the lights. Because how many know that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And there comes a point in your walk with God where we hear the word of God, we hear the stories of God, and we can get so used to them that it bores us. We hear Acts 2:38. We hear, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, God, imagines. We hear that, amen? And it becomes just more and more words. But how many know that that's still the word of God? It's the breathed word of God. The word of God was sacrificed. It was the word of God was put and hung up on a cross and bled and died. There's power in this word. It's meant to be taken and digested as it was in the Old Testament, to be eaten and saturate your very body. So when you hear the word of God and it's something repetitive, something that you heard a message over and over and over, over and over and over. It's not something that we just, you know, okay, I've heard that already. Something like, what are you trying to tell me, God? There's something to this scripture. There's depth here that I'm not seeing. Or there's something in my heart that is turned off. Yeah. There's something inside of me that has been calloused. Yeah. My heart and my mind is not moved by your word anymore. I don't have tears in my eyes when I read the book of John chapter 3. When I read it and it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We hear that and we shout over it. I've been in places where they shout, amen. But when was the last time you ever cried over that? Because there's people that are not born of the water and born of the spirit that don't get to enter into the kingdom of God, that don't even get to see the kingdom of God. When do we have that burden on us? Amen. When is that the move of God is so normal to us that we're just so dull to it? Joseph in the wilderness said, "The Lord was in this place and I knew it not." Amen. I don't ever want to get to the place where I'm so callous that I'm just sitting back in another sermon, hearing it again, and my spirit's just nodding. I don't want to be that guy. I really don't. At some point, if it takes me getting on my face and praying so that my spirit is awake again, then that's what I need to do. If my flesh is starting to fall asleep, then I need to get into a time of fasting to where my flesh is being crucified so that my spirit is alive. So when the word of God goes forth, it is sharp. It is powerful. It cuts to the bone. It is a discerner of amen, somebody. Amen. I want the word of God to be so alive in me and quickened in me. I want the word of God, like Jeremiah, to be like a fire in me that can't stay inside. Amen. Does this make sense? And I'm afraid that we at some point, like Eutychus, get to a place where it's been so normal and we grew up in it and it's something that we've just been around and I've heard enough already, so I'm going to just turn you out and I'm here, but I'm not really here. Right? Everyone saw me and I shook the right hands, but I got my place by the window and I'm just going to stay right here. Instead of being by the teacher's feet and seeing what else, what was it like? What was it like when he knocked you off the horse? What was that like when you told that layman to get up and he what did that feel like? Was there power? Did you feel power come out of you? What was, you know, I want to be in that atmosphere, that mindset when the word of God is being preached. What was that like? I've had the opportunity to go and see Brother Stone King preach because I want to know what that like. That dude trips me out. God has used him, and there's so much power in his testimonies and stories. And he came to a service in Vancouver, and I'm like, I got to go see him. I didn't want him to sign my Bible or anything, but I just wanted to hear. I wanted to hear the words. I've heard it and gone and seen the Bishop David Bernard go preach, and people are over there taking selfies with him and all that. I'm like, that's no. No. I want to hear what it's like to be in a place, in a time where God is using you as the rudder for the church. Like, what is that like? What's that feel like to be in that position of authority? Amen? Amen. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Eutychus. I think he just was a regular dude that had a long day and was tired. I just think that he was going through his life. Amen? If I was to guess, I think a lot of these people were new converts who were just coming in. And if I were to guess how I was when I came in, this was all new to me. This was all new to me, amen? And I could spend all day doing all kinds of other things, but as soon as it comes time to hear the word of God, then, right? When it comes time for me to study my Bible, I'm like, well, it's the World Series and the Dodgers are there again. All I know is David killed giants. That's all I know. God is good, yes? When it comes time to get spiritual, my flesh was still very much in control. Coming to the Lord, it was one of the things that I did not know how to crucify at first. And it led me away from God, actually. Even though I was coming to church, my heart was still after the things of the world. It's because I didn't let this word get inside of me. The Bible says, your word have I hid in my heart that I would what? That I wouldn't sin against you. I want to know the word of God. I want to hear the word of God. I'll tell you this, it's the word of God that kept me when I finally left the church and backslid and was out in the world. After I was baptized in Jesus' name, after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I was out in the world in a bowling alley watching people bowl. And I'm trying to enjoy a beer. Like, come on, that stuff's nasty. And I couldn't, because all I could see was so many lost people there. I saw lost people, and I knew I was lost still. I knew I wasn't where I needed to be, and I could not be comfortable in the world. I could not be there and be okay and just put my feet up and relax and be at peace. I couldn't be like that. So why am I going to be like that in the house of God and be comfortable here and just be all this? I want to get excited for the things of God and for a move of God. I want to be excited for what he's doing in your life. Amen. I want to be excited for you when he delivers you. Amen. When he sets your minds right. When he heals your body. Amen. When he puts your family together. When he answers your prayers. Amen. I want to rejoice with you, but if I'm asleep in my spirit because of how my day went, I'm going to miss those things. Amen? Yeah. Amen, somebody. I want a spirit that says, you know what? I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Yeah. I want to be like him. I did set my timer. I almost forgot. I said it before I got here because I knew I'd forget. I don't want to go till midnight because then I'll have to use the Nerf gun. I told myself I wouldn't unless someone was nodding. We get some nods, you'll hear the click, clack. Eutychus worked all day, amen? He was dirty, he was probably tired, but he made time for God. He made time to hear the word of God. He made time to be in the presence of in the man of God, amen? He made that time to be around the body of believers, amen? The Bible mentions it was around midnight. And that means this, that he literally fell into a deep sleep. He literally fell into a deep sleep. And that sleep lasted three stories. Three stories. Some of you don't know this, but I have a family member who was working rebar, building a building. And they had the scaffolding up, scaffolding laid out. And there was rebar laid on the scaffolding so they can help set it all up. And while he was setting it up, he stepped back and stepped on the rebar and wasn't tied in right and fell backwards that three-story and landed on the floor. He should have been dead. But I'm thankful by the grace of God, he's not. He's immobile, but God has preserved him for a time because he's not done reaching his heart. He's not going to let him pass until he converts him, until he knows this whole truth. He's not going to let him pass until he's filled with the Spirit. And I pray for that man. We had our differences in the past, but I pray for him because I know God's not done with him. Does that make sense? Eutychus didn't just be paralyzed. He died. He fell three stories and died. And Paul didn't say, somebody go get him. Paul didn't send his family members to go get him. Paul didn't send his friends to go get him. Paul didn't even have Dr. Luke, who's recording this in the book of Acts, go get the doctor, go let him see him. He didn't send him to go do that. The Bible says that Paul went himself. Paul went himself and laid his arms around him. I tried to be smart and write the word that they used. It's epipto. Epipto, I don't even know. It's a Greek word that means to strongly wrap your arms around, to earnestly wrap your arms around. So Paul, while he's ministering, telling about the goodness of God, telling his testimony of the goodness and the preciousness of the blood and how Jesus is the Messiah from the Old Testament fulfilled and it's scripture being fulfilled and we crucified and he rose again and the Holy Ghost is poured out. He's sharing all these testimonies and while he's doing that, someone falls out dead in front of him. And his reaction wasn't, well, that was too bad. At least I have all these around me. He took it as an opportunity to share his testimony with somebody. He took it the opportunity to activate his faith. That makes sense? It wasn't something that he just talked about in the house. Somebody hear me. It wasn't something that just happened in the church building. Amen. It wasn't something that you can talk about with people who believed with them. And it was okay to talk here this because you understand me. And we could talk about the goodness of God. But when the need really happened, it was outside of the house. So he went outside of the house and he laid himself down over that person. He laid his knowledge and his faith and his full everything that he was and wrapped that person up. All of his faith, the fullness of it, all his virtue, everything that he could probably muster up in his spirit and his self and laid it on that young Eutychus, and the Bible says he's not dead. Paul said he's not dead. He proclaimed it before he ever saw it. He acted on it before he ever was. Amen, somebody. There are people who have left the assembly, my God. There are some people who have left the church that knew this. They knew the waters of baptism. They knew the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They've boogered up this whole altar, but they're not in the house of God anymore, and they're out there. And they just need to wrap our arms around them. They just need us, the church, to go reach them and be the arms of God for them. Does this make sense, somebody? They need us as the body. Amen. They need us as the body to wrap our arms around them and love them back to a Savior's cross, to love them back to a family where healing is, to love them back where restoration is, to love them back where everything is made new. Amen, somebody. Someone did that for me. Someone did that for me. They loved me back to the presence of God. And I'm standing here today, not because I'm smart or I'm anything. I'm only here by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why I'm here. And that's the only reason why you are here. Amen. But it's not so you can stay in the house. It's so you can go out and start loving people. It's so you can go out and start reaching people. The Bible says, and such were some of you. We walked the road. Amen. And he preserved us for such a time as this. Amen, somebody. How many know the mask mandates are going to be lifted? That means people are going to be out wanting to be connected. Amen. And God's going to put you right in their path. God's going to put you right in their path so you can be the testimony of God, how he has preserved you, has healed you, how he's been there for you. Amen, somebody. I wish we would understand the importance of what's going on here. This is not just a young kid's story of kids falling out of the window because they didn't pay attention to the teaching of the Word of God. We like to teach that as a youth pastor. You listen to me or God's going to kill you. Either by a bear or he'll knock you out the window. That's not how we teach it. We teach it with the idea that's behind the scriptures, and that's to seek and to save that which is lost. The whole lens of this book is to reach souls with the love. Amen. It's to seek souls, amen? That's the whole point of this scripture. I look up the words, and when I was looking it up, a similar word came up, and I'm like, oh, this makes sense now. This all makes sense. Like, God knew what he was doing. I'm like, okay, God. Wow. It's like you planned this. Like he had it all figured out before it ever played out. Wow, what an idea. What a thought. Here's what I found in the book of Luke, chapter 15. It's on the other side of John. Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. A similar word is used. It says this, Luke 15, 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It's a very similar word for falling on his neck is he earnestly wrapped his arms around him. This is a story of the prodigal son. This is a story of a son who threw away the things that he had for temporary pleasure. It's a spirit of Esau that didn't appreciate the things that God had for him. And he threw it away for what the world was offering. Amen. And he found himself after a moment, after he had lost all of his friends that money could buy, after he lost all the temporary situations that he thought he can get himself his big name and everything that he can pay for. You have friends when you got money. You have clout. You have influence when you have money. But as soon as that money's gone, you found out how expensive your relationships are. You ever have a $5 friend?
Yeah.
You loan them $5 and you never see them? The world's full of them. Amen? Eutychus shows me a story in Luke about a son who had some friends like that. They were there just momentarily for what they can get. Leeches. His money ran out. His friends ran out. Everything he had ran out. It came to a place where he was, I guess you could say, under the influence of conviction. And he says, my servants in my dad's house have it better than me. If I could just get back to my dad's house. I know I could never be a son again. I've messed up too much. I know I could never make it right because I've done too many things wrong. But if I could just get to my dad's house, then I'll be a servant. Amen? If I could just get back there. And the Bible says he came to himself. Said, if I just get back there, I'm going to go. It wasn't about talking anymore. He put word to boot and started walking and came to dad. And the Bible says while his dad saw him afar off, his dad went to go meet him. And he wrapped his arms around him and loved him. And I'll tell you this, is at that moment that he became alive again. Because his dad didn't say, you can be my servant. No, he said, this is my son. I want you to go get a robe. I want you to put my ring on him. I want you to put my slippers on him. I want you to treat him like he's restored. Amen. How many know that in the world that there's lost people that are hurting and think that they can never come to a place and find a place of cleanliness. They can never be restored because of the things they've done wrong. I've done it. When I came back from being out in the world, I thought, well, if I could just come come back and I'll just, I don't know, I'll just go clean the parking lot or something. If I could just be a servant, if I could just show how sorry I am by showing up and setting up chairs and helping out here, then they'll know how sorry I really was, because I'm just going to keep helping out and helping out and helping out. But the promise of God is that he can restore you. And he can renew you. The Bible says he wants us to consider our ways. Amen. He wants us to come to a place of repentance. Amen. And the Bible says at that moment in time that all things are made new. There's a restoration in the presence of God. And we know that. The house of God, there's all things new. The scripture declares it. In Corinthians it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Right? The story of Eutychus tells me I need to start telling that to my world. Yeah. The story of Eutychus reminds me that there's people who are in the house who are still just falling asleep. That there's new converts that don't know how to get excited about the Word of God. They're just happy to be part of a people that will accept them. Right. But there's so much more than to just being accepted. It's belonging and being used of God. Amen. The Bible talks about vessels of honor being used in the house of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those vessels that's used of God. Amen? Amen. And if it's a vessel that's used to sweep the floors, then I'm going to sweep a floor. Amen. If it's to clean a toilet, I'm going to clean a toilet. If it's to go reach a lost soul and hug someone who hasn't felt a human touch in over a month because they're homeless and they haven't showered and they don't smell good and no one's around them, no one wants to touch them, no one wants to be around them, I'm going to be the first one to hug them because I know what that's like to not feel wanted. I know what it's like. So I'm going to go hug them because they need to feel what it's like to be human again. Amen. And if they could understand what it's like to feel human again, they could understand what joy and peace and love and wholeness is. Amen? It's hard to understand wholeness if you don't understand what love is. I don't know about you guys, but to come into a place and hear about a father who loves you when your father beats you when you were a kid, that's hard. That's hard to accept. It's hard to accept that when the word father is associated with pain and hurt. But I'll tell you this, it's a church. It's a church body who's willing to love somebody and reflect the love of God and reflect the love of a father to that person. And then you do permanent damage to ignorance. You do permanent damage to ignorance when you love. When you love somebody beyond where they've been and beyond what has happened to them, and you love them out of the goodness of your heart and the kindness of Jesus flowing through you, you can actually change someone's destiny. Amen. How many know when the church wraps their arms around the tired and the lost and the dead? They're close to your heart. And if the Lord Jesus has filled your heart, they're close to the presence of God. And there's something powerful about a hug. There's something powerful that words can't even do. I have a picture saved on my phone from a moment. We're at a North American Youth Congress, and everyone's praying, and a young man came and hugged me. And there's no words that can ever come out of that. There's no words necessary. It was just a hug. A hug needed to happen. The presence of God was working, and this person didn't know how to react to it. They didn't know how to react to the presence of God they felt around them. They didn't know what to say or how to pray. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They're just, I don't know what to do with this, but I just need to express love because I feel love. And I don't know what would happen if that person didn't have me there or someone else to hug. They would have walked away empty with this frustration of being in the presence of God and not knowing how to use it. And I don't know about you, but I'm in that place now where I feel an urgency in my spirit to reach the lost. I feel an urgency in my spirit that I've read too much Bible and heard stories too many times. And I've only seen just a small amount. I've seen people healed in their hands, and I've seen people healed in their body. I've seen people's minds be restored. And I'm just, can I be selfish and say I'm just not satisfied with that anymore? I know God said, amen, Brother Martin. God, we're going to do greater things. Right. Greater things than what Jesus did, because now he's multiplied through us. Amen, somebody. Yes. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the times that are coming. Yes. I don't care what our news says and what the newspaper. Anybody read the newspaper? Probably not. Good. I don't even know if you should be wrapping your fish in it. But I believe this is that the Lord is about to pour souls into this church. Yes. Not just as a statement, but he wants to pour it into this church like we've been praying. Yes. Like we've been praying. Yes.
We've prayed for whole families. And we're getting them. They're trickling in. They're starting to trickle in. And I'm excited about that because I know what I've prayed for. And I know one of those families that gets trickled in here is going to be part of my family. I'm going to see my family restored. I declare it in the name of Jesus. And that's going to cause me to get involved in the work of God. Because if I'm not reaching my family, then I'm still going to be involved in the work of God trying to reach your family. Amen, somebody. I've had the opportunity to baptize my mom in that water right there. And that does such a great thing because I know how filthy I was. And God could use me to restore something that should have been the other way around. She should have led me and raised me in the things of God, but she didn't. She had me at 15. And I got to grow up with her. And every bad decision she made, I got to walk in that. But God pulled me and he changed me. And he healed my mind and my heart. Amen. He saved me so that I can reach her. Not so I could stay angry at her. Not so I could blame her for all my excuses and everything that I did wrong. No, I can't blame her. No, it was my job to see her as a soul and reach her and teach her as a soul. Amen. And it was because of that that the Lord filled her with the Spirit. Amen, somebody. It's going to cause me to get involved in the things of God because there's a Eutychus falling out of a window. And if I'm there, I can be part of that. I can lay myself on them and share who I am with them. Does this make sense, somebody? So there's people who need to hear your testimony. There's people who need to hear your testimony. God has done amazing things in your life. There's programs. There's things that we're doing through the year. There's events. There's youth service. There's all these things that are happening. Amen? And you might be too timid to come up here and preach, Sister Day. But you can share a testimony.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. I look at the situation that went on in that story with Paul on that day, and they were breaking bread. Somebody had to make that bread.
Yes.
Somebody had to open up their home. Somebody had to clean the home. Yes. Somebody had to clean up after that home.
Right.
Somebody's got to teach the Bible studies.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. Somebody's got to put a flyer in their hand.
Yes.
Somebody's got to greet them at the door, somebody.
Yes.
Somebody's got to be doing the work of God. All those little things are accumulative to reaching a soul.
Yes.
Amen. It's not just so two or three people can do everything and you can say, yep, this was a good service. Check. Post it. I'm part of it. No.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
I've done it.
Preach that, brother.
I know, but they're going to throw rocks at me. You have no aim anyway. The happiest day is when I work with folks.
Yeah.
It really is. It changes my attitude. I was going into Columbia River Corrections, into the jail, and going in there ministering to the guys there, praying with them, yelling at them, provoking them, challenging them, and seeing, I always laugh because, this guy, he was the one crying at the end. And I made it like, how many can I make cry?
Yeah.
We've been there, and they want to hug you. They're earnest. They're looking for something new. And I always enjoyed seeing them there. But the happiest days was when I seen them walking up this driveway, coming to a service.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember seeing Eric come up this driveway. Mm-hmm. And in jail, he was one of these guys. I didn't get him to cry. But he came walking up this driveway, big dude. Or does fitness and just a big dude. And he has the biggest smile coming up the driveway. Big Mickey Mouse shirt. Just, I'm here for church. That made my heart so happy. Because I knew that the word had taken root and it began to grow in his life. Amen. Another dude named Mike. I met him in there and we talked. And he was strung out and lost everything. Everything. Just lost everything. And I go to a men's meeting down in Salem, and I seen him there. And he comes and he gives me a hug. Like, I'm talking to someone. He comes up beside me and hugs me. I'm like, dude. I didn't expect to see him. It's one of those that, you share the word. You're like, well, good luck. I'll pray for that one. But I'll tell you this, is that Brother Stanley's at the Salem Church now, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Those are things that happen when we minister, amen? Lives can be changed, amen? But I remember meeting Mike before all that. I remember him
homeless. I remember him in his coat dirty, and he had, you know, bodily fluids on him, and he stunk, and it was just a bad, bad scene. And he said no one had touched him in over a month. No one wanted to be around him. As soon as I saw him, I gave him a hug, and I told him I loved him. And I believe it was that hug that provoked him to keep serving God. I have faith. I'm just, what the preacher say, I'm just crazy enough to believe that. Yeah. That a hug can change someone's attitude in their mind. I've already planted the word of God. I've already prayed, but it took me physically getting involved in someone's life. It took me physically getting in the, right, putting what I was preaching into play. The Apostle Paul did it. He didn't just stay there talking about what happened in the house of God. He went out and he laid himself down. He sacrificed everything he was. And that was just the story of who he was. That's why God told him, you know, Satan wants to sift you. Satan wants to destroy you because you're being poured out. Right. You can only be sifted when you're poured out. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah. But how many know when God knocks that sift away, you can be poured out and it's going to overflow over everything. And the Apostle Paul decided, I'm going to pour out my whole life and watch lives be changed. I'm going to watch the spirit realm shudder when I walk into a room. I'm a part of a body of believers whose very shadows heal people and change lives. I'm part of a powerful move of God that's changing people, and demoniacs that are possessed with legions of devils are gone out of them. We serve a Savior who's stronger and more authority and power than anything that demonstrates itself. Does that make sense to anybody? We have that living inside of us. We're part of that body. Amen? We say amen. But we need to take our amen out there. We're going to be spending a whole month with Brother Chris Green. And he's going to, you know, Brother Green, he's going to tear it up and be sweaty and pray everybody through on the count of three, you know, that kind of stuff, right? I've learned a lot from that man. God used him mightily because he's willing to pour out his life. But he's going to be here preaching and teaching us how to do exactly what we're talking about, and that's reaching souls. And he's not talking about it because he read it in a book somewhere. Well, he kind of did, but. He's actually out there doing it. And I'm here to challenge us to go out and meet some people. God can bring Keelan and Amanda and David and Christina, even James, and even John from our last outreach. God can bring them to the house. Amen? And I see we welcome them. We hug them. We give them candy and chocolates. That's a good thing. We should do those things. We should welcome them when we come. That's our part. That's our role. But when they leave the house of God after the first time, where's the hug? Where's the chocolate? Where's the cup? I don't know about you, but I need to learn. I need someone to walk with me. What's that word? Discipline? I needed discipline when I came to God. I needed discipleship. I needed someone to tell me what it's like to be apostolic, what it means to live a holy life. I needed someone to walk with me. I needed someone to wrap their arms around me and tell them that they appreciated me. Sister Pat, Brother Rod did that for me. Brother Rod did that for me. He wrapped his arms around me and he told me he appreciated me when I didn't have any appreciation for me. So I passed that on. And it doesn't stop with him. It doesn't stop with me. It's going to pass on to another generation. I will never eat M&M's and ketchup though. I won't do it. Our world is hurting. And they need the love of God. I said the masks are coming off. Let's let them come off in the church too. If you're hurting and you need a hug, let somebody know. If you're hurting and going through it, don't be too ashamed or too pompous that you don't need a hand from God or a hug from God. God can use your brother and sister to reach out to you, and you could draw strength from each other. If you need strength and uplifting from that, I mean, Moses showed it with the lifting of his hands, Aaron and Ur. He needed people. Where the church was meant to be a body. Amen. It was meant to be together, yes? I've heard it said like this: the last hour is the church's. I'm going to say that in English. The last hour is the church's. The last hour is the churches. Amen, somebody. But the last moment is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, he's coming. He's coming. And there will be no more time to hug people. There'll be no more time to reach people.
There'll be no more time to say I'm too busy and to ignore calls. There will be no more time to put off a text or a letter, whatever you're, how older you are that you do still. There'll be no more time for that. There'll be no more time. Once that trumpet sounds, it's over. But the Lord has strategically placed us here. He's placed us up on this hill so that we can see what's going on. He's placed us here so we can be involved in a city that's hurting and dying without Him. He's put us here for a reason, amen? We need to share the love of God. We need to share our testimony. We need to share our coffee and our tea and water, if that's your thing. We need to share an open arm. God has armed us with spiritual weapons. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. I believe it still. He's equipped us with love and a heart like His. And we have story after story how the people we run into, sometimes it's their last chance. We're working with them and working with them and working with them. And they're too stubborn like we were. And they don't listen like I didn't listen. And I ignore it and put it off. And that's when the cops come. Well, let me just say, that's when they fall out their window. We have two scriptures I want to read in Ephesians, if you have your Bible. I don't have any more snacks. Oh, I got one more snack. Who wants to read? Book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians. Cheez-Its. You wish. That's how hungry you are. Eat Cheez-Its. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 16. No takers? Go ahead, Brother Stan. Ephesians 5, 16. Wow. That is such a weighty scripture. He said, making the most of, what was it? Every opportunity, because the days are evil. King James says to redeem the time. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We can't be wasting time, people. It's running now. Colossians chapter 4. Oh, yeah. Oops. My fault. He called me. One more. Colossians chapter 4. You got it? Colossians 4, 4 through 6.
That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
Wow. Amen. Thank you. Oh, I didn't see nothing. I don't know if we understood because we were focused on snacks, but go ahead, sis. It is up for grabs. It's always up for grabs. Spiritual things are always up for grabs. You ever have a good Rice Krispie treat? You're like, yeah. The Bible says to consider your ways, but it also says to redeem the time. What am I doing with my life? We're running out of time. The days are evil. The next scriptures, we're talking about how we need to appreciate the time we have. Amen? But not only appreciate the time, but to use it wisely when we're talking with people. To treat them kindly. Treat them like they're a soul. Treat them like they are hurting. Treat them like you wanted to be treated when you came in. Amen, somebody. Be considerate of where they're at. God is good. And I'll end with this. It's time for us to prepare ourselves for what God wants to do. That means I need to start doing some things different. Amen? It's going to be hard to say, but I'm going to have to start going to bed a little bit early on Monday so I can be rested
for a long day Tuesday. That means I'm going to have to turn some stuff off so I can hear what God is saying when I am out there. I'm not going to let things drain me and be so tired of people when I get out of work or while I'm at work that I don't want to reach people anymore. That means I'm going to have to put some boundaries up for toxic relationships and people that are around me. I'm going to have to not let them into my spirit so I can save some of me that's left to reach our world. Does that make sense? I'm going to use the F word. Careful, kids. We need a fast. Sorry for the carnal folks. I'm sorry. We need to fast and be sensitive and get tuned into what God is doing. Amen. He has a frequency that he's trying to broadcast his message. And there's a lot of things disrupting the message. Amen. There's a lot of news and fake news and real news and all this other stuff that's going. The Bible says it's principalities of the air. Careful what you let minister to your soul. Fasting will help us be sensitive and know what is right and what is wrong, what I need to pay attention to and what I need to get in intercession about. Amen, somebody. There's things you can do here that can affect over there. Pray for Ukraine. Pray for Russia. Pray for America, though. You better believe they're going to be recruiting. There was a draft. But God is good. And we need to be prepared for that. If I'm not tuned in to what God is doing, I don't want to miss a trumpet. The Bible says, I said it last week, that two will be in the field and one will be taken. I want to be the one in the field who's wrapping his arms around somebody the moment God takes us so I could take another soul with me. If that's anybody's heart, if that's on anybody's spirit today, I want you to lift your hands and begin to pray. Begin to pray that God would change your heart and shut out the voices of the world, that you would be in tune with what God is doing. Amen. That you won't be lazy in your spirit and have a spirit that is just slothful and doesn't care about the things of the spirit. A spirit of Esau that has captured you. I pray right now, my God, for a spirit of Jacob that will do anything for the spiritual. That will do anything, that would lay down anything, do whatever it costs to go after the things. A spirit of Caleb that will say, I want that mountain. I'm not too old. I'm not too wore out. I've been in the battles, but I'm not wore out. I want to see more victories. I want to see more triumph. I want to see you lifted up, my God. I'm praying right now for strength to be renewed in this house. I'm praying for a spirit of Paul that would capture us, my God, that we would reach the Eutychuses, hallelujah, that would reach those that are lost and in and out, my God, that have let the cares of this world blow them to sleep. I'm praying right now for your name, Jesus, to be lifted up in the church, my God, in Portland Pentecostals, my God, that you begin to do a work in this body, that as souls come in, we would welcome them and love them, my God, but it would not stay in this house, my God, that we would put our words to feet, my God, we would put the boots on, my God, and get out in our world and in our workplace, my God, hallelujah, that we would not be afraid to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would be not ashamed, my God, as your word declares, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are not ashamed of your blood, we are not ashamed of your spirit, we are not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are not ashamed of the oneness of God. We declare it even now in this house. Let it saturate us, my God. We are not ashamed that there are not three gods, there are one God. Hallelujah. We declare the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in you bodily, my God. Let this doctrine, my God, let this word saturate our hearts and our minds, my God. That some would be one, my God. That our families would be one. That our children would be one, my God. That those around us, our neighbors, co-workers, our teachers and students around us, my God, would be one. Hallelujah. That you would begin to do things through us, my God. Those greater things be activated in us, my God. Tonight in this hour, my God, I pray you rejuvenate, revive our souls, prepare us for the battle, prepare us for the harvest, oh God. Prepare us to reap where we haven't even sown yet, my God. I pray that seed, my God, would take root, hallelujah, and grow and bear fruit in the hearts of those who have received flyers, who have received
received an invitation in years past, my God. You would begin to do a work. Let that bloom, my God. Let your seed bloom in this season, oh God. Put them in our path, oh God. You said you would give us the words to speak, my God. You said that the Holy Ghost would lead us to the truth, Lord. Give us the truth to share with our world. Equip us, my God. Sharpen our swords. Sharpen our spirits, oh God. And remove the scales so we can see what you are doing, my God. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah.